Hey everyone, David Michael Phelps here for another episode of Working Man. Today in Working Man, we're joined by a real-life cobbler, and I can't tell you how long I've waited to speak that sentence. Peter Kovarik is a bootmaker and owner of Liberty Footwear in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and today he's going to tell us about how he sees his work as an opportunity to serve those around him, and how trusting in God and everything you do is at the core of work. Peter is a great guy with a great story. I think you're really going to like listening to him. So without further ado, here is Peter Kovarik.
My name is Peter Kovarik, born in Czechoslovakia many years ago, came to America in 1998. After meeting my wife on the way to to US in 1994, she said on the plane right next to me. And 10 hours later, we knew something was brewing. And came 98 with the idea to just study management and business and then come back and back to Czech Republic where we lived. And by and by, the good Lord, meant otherwise. So instead of studying, I got a job offer from nearby Wolverine. We stayed in Chicago, and Wolverine went as far, Wolverine Worldwide at that time, offering me also management training inside the company, and offered to pay for the part-time management, studies. And so that offer I took them upon and went to Michigan State on weekends, 2000-2001, and then, went through the product development roles in the company. And along the way, kids were being born, and we were blessed, and so stayed in Grand Rapids. We like the place, like the state, and like the people, and will hopefully, stay for a long, long time. But, who knows, the good Lord, moved us, and he stayed, with us with various moves, where we live, what we do, etc. So I worked for Wolverine for many years, 17 years, but after maybe 10, years or so, I wasn't happy anymore for some reason. And so, we're thinking what to do. Didn't want to move to another state for another job in shoe industry, because this is what I would like to do my whole life, be involved in shoemaking. And through Wolverine, it was in the office jobs. But then the idea came to make my own, and by and by, here we are with Liberty Footwear Shoe Factory 5 years later, and making boots, and hopefully serving people the way that they appreciate from grounds up.
I remember I first heard of Liberty maybe 2 years ago, it was, and it was just in passing. Someone had mentioned the fact that there was a fella who was making boots on the Northwest side. And the first thing that struck me as I realized to myself that I had never, probably in my life, given thought to the fact that that was something that, in a way, people did. In other words, what I mean is, like, you just get used to mass production, right? That's how products come to us, mass production. And it occurred to me, like, oh, well, no, I guess it wouldn't have to be that. I found it fascinating. It was probably a year later that I found my way in here. How did you get started making boots? I mean, where does one go to start down that path?
Well, my father was a shoemaker, and so I followed his trade, and so went to shoemaking high school, as I said, shoemaking college, and during the summers, and the schooling, the schooling system, educational system in Czechoslovakia at that time was 10 months of school from September 1st until June 30th. And July, August, all my years, again, in high school and college, I worked, during the summer. I was actually well off as a student, low taxes, etc., on your income. And I worked on an assembly line and learned many operations, and also was exposed to what's going on with, with the social interaction with older people, with people who were making a living, you know, with some who supported the system, the communist regime, most that didn't. And so after I graduated from college, I, you know, was working in product development and then in purchasing materials, actually for a multinational, at that time, you know, number one global shoe company, Bata, B-A-T-A. The founder started his business in a shop making, you know, shoes himself. And that was in 1892, I believe, 1892, 1893. Then grew the business in the over the 40 years into a global global business that was nationalized by communists in 1945 after the Second World War. And so I was, you know, in various office roles, which obviously gives you different perspective than being on an assembly line. At the same time, it gives you an edge over others who perhaps, you know, knew a lot more theoretically, but didn't have that, you know, practical experience. So I had opportunity to travel around the world, buying materials from various vendors, including North America, South America, Europe, haven't been for that company in Asia, but throughout Europe as well. And so even here at Wolverine, it was office, and I could have an impact with specifications of materials, coming up with new ways in assembly, in improvements, in costing, in finding better economical solutions, and meeting various vendors. But something was missing. Was it midlife crisis? I don't know. In any way, the company turned from a manufacturer where many people held lifetime jobs into more, say, transient company, where management at the brand level was changing and was bringing different ideas, and almost all of those ideas involved just buying and selling of the shoes and boots rather than making. I was, you know, having all sorts of ideas that were no longer, you know, say, compatible with where Wolverine, the big company, corporation, was going. And so despite, you know, traveling to Asia and visiting factories there, I, you know, had that yearning for making. I didn't know that I would end up, you know, myself, you know, that you know, would happen later. Point is that I wanted to put something together, and that was really how I think, to be honest, because I prayed a lot about it. Prayed about it with a family who were 7-1 against it, and prayed about it, you know, with my confessor and with actually spiritual directors at Regnum Christi at that time, and went to retreats, several, where prayed long hours, and somehow the idea stayed on. And so I was promised investment and help from fellow minded Wolverine employees, and actually so I resigned a year and a half before I actually left the company. I resigned, you know, handed a resignation letter, and then you know, continued with the development and preparation, whichever was feasible. Point is, then I left, you know, the company, and still mentally, that's the hard thing, wasn't ready. You know, I asked the good Lord for guidance, prayed about it a lot. And when I left Wolverine, which was my, you know, a provider of, you know, really good financial reward for me and the family, and wasn't ready to start the company. And so I did consulting for various other companies, including well-known work boots and casual, you know, shoe companies here in the US and in China. And that consulting actually went on for about 9 months, but it dried out. And the opportunities, I went to visit potential customers, retailers who would buy the boots that would be built or assembled in America. And I got orders actually, 6 months, 7 months after leaving the company. I got orders, yet still didn't have the funding. Okay, so one by one, actually, the those who promised help, who were excited to, be part of this whole venture, backed off. And so I was actually really facing tough times in the spring of 2016, but continued with the help of the family here and in the Czech Republic, surprisingly, and with the help of some unknown, investors or benefactors. And so finally, as the Lord says, seek the kingdom of God first, and everything else will be given to you. And I'm not, citing exact, verse, from the Gospels. But the point is that, throughout actually these last 5-6 years, when faced, with tough decisions, whether it was organizational, financial, logistical, personnel, you pray and you are down and you say, Lord, I have no solution. What do I do? Well, customers come. People offer help. Space for the factory shows up. Hey, we still have this machinery for sale. Are you interested? All of a sudden, when you give it, up as your project and leave it, on the Lord, help me understand, help and lead me, then when you have better clarity. I face these moments weekly, actually. And I have to say, for now, I feel it's where the Lord actually leads me, as tough as it is for my family that were used to, certain income, certain financial security, certain time that I gave them, certain perks, like travel, and all those fly miles, airline miles, and hotel, free nights, etc. Still, I can tell you, it's rewarding to see that you can set to do something where you feel, when you look back, you had very little effect, on it. Despite all your experience, resolve, strength, knowledge, etc. And you see good Lord working, okay? Whether it's sometimes through obstacles, but sometimes, when you see, you make a product or something, service, that helps people. Sometimes it's making boots. Sometimes people bring you something that is too tight for them, and so we stretch the boots for them. Or they come, can you fix this simple thing? I can't seem to find, somebody willing to take on it. We don't advertise repair services, but we can help. Sometimes yesterday, somebody from the neighborhood actually stopped by, needed piece of leather to repair a rocking horse for grandkids. Okay. I have means, and through what I got, through fortune or through some good decisions, sometimes through luck and mistakes, I can see that it's helping and serving, and that actually satisfies me a lot. I can tell you, yes, of course, when we make a good product that people like, that sells, rewards us, that we can make more and sell boots, to more customers. Oh yes, that obviously is a purpose of the enterprise. But when you find that through what you do, you can help address some people's issues, whether it's with their feet or with their heart and mind. Sometimes, you know, people come here and they have all sorts of boots. We have choices, right? We compete with so much that's on the market. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they need stretch this, you know, make it tighter. You know, can you replace the laces? You know, something small where you can see that, yes, for that particular person, this particular moment, you made a difference. I can tell you, as I go through life and get older and older, that's actually all that matters, you know. Yes, of course, you know, financially at times, you know, it's a struggle, but anytime, I can tell you, when you not only ask the Lord for help, but say, your will, I mean, you know, I need, you know, this order. You know, I need this machinery. You know, I need, you know, that component. You know, I need to really, you know, sell and get paid. You know, when it's your will, then, you know, I may want to sell and ship, you know, many boots. We ended up, I can admit to some sins, ended up, you know, working on Sunday. I remember our first order for Amazon 3 years ago. I brought family here on Sunday because I was to travel next day and we had to ship boots that we would get paid for so we could stay, you know, afloat. Thousands of dollars worth of orders. I, you know, worked here all Sunday throughout the night, flew, you know, abroad Monday morning. The boots shipped on Tuesday. We had the money on Wednesday. And guess what? 3 years later, I got some of those boots back because they didn't sell. And I pushed my way, you know, Lord, let me show you. Yeah, let me, yeah, I know what you want me to do. No. And yet we found other customers that you know, say, paid us, for example, that, you know, that we didn't have to work, you know, and do some crazy, you know, sinful things, you know, that you look back and question, you know, why did I not listen, you know, that voice of the Holy Spirit, you know. So in many ways, I can tell you, for me, a spiritual enterprise as much as basically shoemaking enterprise. Yeah.
So I hear you talk about making this move from a company where some of the emphasis was just on sort of the selling and buying of things. But I can tell just from the time that I've spent in your shop here, the detail and the care you have for the crafting of these things, the making of these things. So I hear you say is there was maybe this desire to start making again, right? As opposed to, you know, managing making or whatever. What is it about the making that you find so attractive or important?
You can touch, you know, so many things. You're, you know, in the office, and obviously you send emails, you can draw pictures, you can even try some shoes on, but you are feeding somebody across half the world information, and then expect, you know, something to come back that meets your expectations. Throughout that product development cycle, it may or may not come to fruition the way you want. So many of the new generation of developers, designers, etc., know about the shoemaking, you know, literally just from classroom or from YouTube videos, you know, etc. And then are so excited to come and visit the factories in the Far East. Well, one thing is to visit there for a couple hours, you know, each day during your 2 week trip or 1 week trip. And quite another is, you know, to actually try and see, you know, spend time on it. And if it doesn't work first time, second time, third time, you know, is the problem design, material, workmanship, equipment? You know, so many inputs, and I can tell you from deep down admiration for America's inventions. You know, the people who came here came here literally, for in most cases, empty-handed, just with their hands, their minds, their hearts. And they gave the world so much, inventing things, thinking of things, and inventing services, inventing processes, machinery, materials. And I have had admiration for this, you know, since the days, you know, in communist Czechoslovakia in 80s, studying in high school, and yet, you know, Czech shoemakers gave the world a lot as well. But a lot of technologies actually in the communist Czechoslovakian shoe factories were from the U.S. For cutting, for sewing, for assembly, and I studied reports actually of business trips of the top officials who were approved by the highest ranking leaders of the party, who could travel to the West, you know, to conduct business. Sometimes sell, you know, many times buy, and so I could see, reading those reports, what was going on, and there I came here in 98 again, you know, with 4 suitcases, you know, really, you know, nothing but the ideas, and I could learn here many things as well. I could, you know, offer my perspective, you know, to Wolverine, and hopefully it was valued, you know, for those 17 years. But at the same time, I saw the decline in the practical knowledge and tinkering with, trying, you know, things. How can we, you know, do it differently? Does it work? Those things that were imagined, that were dreamt of, that were actually put to design, will they work? And, you know, here I can touch, feel, and adjust. Part of the, you know, problem that actually was not a positive move of the outsourcing of production to cheap labor countries. So the good news for American consumer was affordability, innovation, and improved comfort, okay, and the wide variety that was, you know, that was offered. But the what was lost, you know, the negative side was that you lost the customized, you know, fit. You had product that, you know, was made nationwide, okay. And, you know, so what I am trying actually, you know, to come up with, we first started with lots of orders for Southern California. When I visited in 2015, 2016, and then 2017, actually, dry weather. They had issues, you know, with no rain, drought. So our first 7 boots, actually, out of those 7, 5 were not waterproof. And why? Because California didn't ask for them. And the 2 waterproof that we had actually then became bestsellers for us in the Midwest. Why? Because as we were seeking other customers early on, besides the Southern California or Southwest in general, the Northeastern customers in New England, as well as the Midwest, they asked for waterproof, and we didn't have. And so we had to learn that we have to use, if we want to, you know, be local, we have to use waterproof materials. And then, for example, also New England, again, when traveled there, we started with a flat so-called wedge outsole. The New England would not sell anything like that. Flat bottom outsoles, no. They wanted a luggy outsoles that had, you know, heel grip. Why? Because it's, you know, wet. They like outdoors a lot more. So here, serving local customers, we realize, okay, you know, for these people, flat bottom outsole will work, wedge. For those, we need to do a heeled version. We have now many customers who actually come with different left and right feet. And that's, you know, what we can offer like no one else in town or in West Michigan or in Midwest, because we've had customers from Indiana and those who call us now or contact us online who are seeking, in, like they were used to or their parents were used to, get, you know, shoes made just for them. Yeah. This country had so many small shoe shops, you know, literally that were making, you know, shoes. Mm. You know, were well built and at the same time affordable and long lasting. Mm. So they could be inherited, you know, actually from a kid to kid, so to say, from a child to child, or, you know, even in adults, unless destroyed, they could be repaired. When we came 98 to Grand Rapids, there were easily 10 shoe repair shops besides those inside Meijer retail stores. Imagine now if you have three actually that are still around, you know.
I can think of one.
So yes, so that's the thing. So what attracts me on it is I guess I'm coming back to the roots, you know, when I was a little kiddo and my father was repairing boots and shoes and leather goods and soccer balls and gloves for the small village I come from of 1,200 people. And the smell of leather and smell of glues, however strange it may be, and seeing that you bring something that is basically dead, not functional, right? Doesn't work, you know, torn apart or you know, not sticking together anymore. And after, you know, work of his labor, okay, the goods were restored back to its, you know, life. And I'm telling you, it's exciting for me. It's exciting for me.
You know, I hear something similar between your discussion of how excited you get to be able to serve particular people, and in your answer about making things, especially making things here and having direct interaction with the things that you're making that you might not get when things are made halfway across the world. And the thing that I see across both of those, I would describe as it gives you the ability to have a sort of responsiveness. You can respond as the maker. I can respond to this material. I can respond to this machine. I can respond at every aspect of the making. But in the same way, when I'm here serving people who are closer to me, I can respond to their needs. I can respond to this market or that particular person's foot. That's the thing that I think, even though it's not until right now that I wouldn't have used this language, I think this is exactly the sort of thing that I was immediately very excited about when I first came here last year, was this notion that, like, so for the people who are listening, like, I have a pair of your boots and they're just, I love them. They're just great. And the thing that I walked away from was not just how much I loved the boots when I first had them on, but was you looked at both of my feet specifically and you were making all these, you were responding to like my feet, right? And saying, oh, and now here's what we're going to do with your boots. And that type of responsiveness doesn't seem to be something that if someone is designing something in the Midwest and they're sourcing materials from Brazil and they're manufacturing in, you know, Asia, whatever like that, you just lose that responsiveness, don't you? You can't respond to things that way.
Yes, you scale it up, and I've experienced it. You know, there, Wolverine, great company, no grudges, but obviously they learn how to scale things up. You know, see, towards the end of my work there, there were minimums set for each stock number, each model, you know, in its color version and in its soft toe or safety toe, you know, version. And when I heard the numbers, I won't say, you know, what it was. I said, yeah, I guess there is room for me. I don't need thousands of pairs, you know, to start with. I can serve basically those markets and that distribution that is limited by the big corporations who go after mass distribution. Early on, we focused, and we still, you know, can only play with the so-called moms and pops retailers. Mm-hmm. And as you say, there is a connectiveness to all this.
Yeah.
So I know who's getting my boots, and at the same time, he knows me. There is a, you know, if he's not happy, he will, you know, he will let me know, and he will not tell others, or he will have negative feedback. I had better know. When you're part of a big company, it's calculated, you know, in percents or fractions of percents, how many returned boots and shoes you will receive. That's calculated into the price. And, you know, obviously things can happen whether you're a big company making millions and selling millions of pairs and a small company that makes thousands of them. Still, that you know the customer directly gives you sense of more responsibility and at the same time more appreciation. Why? You're part of big company. That company decides that instead of selling a particular shoe for $99, they will do a flash sale online for $69, you know, dollars, $59, etc. And then they sell, you know, to a number of folks. How do you know them? You know, and you decide if you want to keep this. Many of the boots, I should do every single one, but many, I just bless, especially for online customers whom I had no interaction with. We do have online sales for us. It's a small fraction of our overall business. But most people, actually some people do call us and find out how does it fit and what can you recommend. But many just place an online order. I've never met them, never seen them, don't know how the boots will fit. I bless them, you know, saying, Lord, you know, hope they fit them and they work for them. And in my view, we should, you know, each of us, what we do, we should bless, you know, what we do, whether it's service or a product that we actually, you know, serve others. I mean, that should be, you know, that should be the main thing, you know, for us. And I don't want to sound preachy, but that's what's inside, you know, of me that I try and actually show through the boots, you know, that we make. Again, you know, may not work 100%, but the striving to, that gives you so much satisfaction that, you know, when you're part of a corporation where you know that it's, you know, really literally about numbers, you know, and in those numbers, even mistakes, you know, are calculated for, okay? Here, you know, it's a different approach, you know? So I like that personal connection very much, very much.
Well, why don't you, before we end here, why don't you tell people how can people find you and where do they get your boots and what would you like them to know about your boots company? How can they buy a pair of Liberty boots, which are just fantastic?
We are still a small family-owned shoe factory making a couple thousand pairs a year, but what we lack in size, we make up in focus on what we do. So oftentimes we actually ship two sets of footbeds with the pair of boots bought online, or you know, sometimes people just call us. And so we try and help and say, if you have any issues with our boots, you know, tell us. If you have no issues, tell everybody else. So Liberty Footwear, here a shop on Alpine Avenue, Lower Alpine Avenue in Grand Rapids, Michigan, near Richmond Park, online at libertyfootwear.com. And we do have a Facebook page, even Instagram page, and sometimes customers actually respond, you know, to it. We do have some radio stations that speak about us regularly. I won't mention, but for local West Michigan listeners, they will know. And we actually realized that when we ship our boots to certain retail location, that we do get online orders from the place where people would normally, you know, or could buy our boots, but the retailer, for example, doesn't carry full range of what we do. As I mentioned before, we started with 7 boots, and now we have 70 or 80 actually combinations of the same upper on different outsole, you know, different colors that we added, you know, over time. And because we can resole, we can make even new boots with an outsole that we have 10, 12 different varieties of outsoles. We started with one outsole in 2 colors. Now we have injected outsoles, 4 colors, and then we have 3 different unit outsoles that we actually cement on the uppers. So, and then we are looking at other options. I mean, to be honest, so many opportunities that exist that people bring. We value that immediate interaction with the customers who say, you know, can you tighten it, or can you stretch this, or can you open it up, you know, or, you know, can you actually make, you know, this piece a little larger, or can you swap the eyelet for a speed hook, and can I get longer laces because I like, you know, tying double knot in my laces, and all this we can do. And hopefully that that service, that attention means something for the local customers, and including actually online customers. So we're here Monday through Saturday, and again, you know, I know that number of stores, consumer goods stores, are open on Sundays, and could we get some business? Maybe, but we would go crazy, and we would totally lose sense of, you know, what we're here for. We do need to connect with the Lord and with the family on Sunday, so we are closed then. But hopefully we can help one of the listeners as well.
As always, thanks for listening, everyone. Summer has kicked off here at Harmel Academy of the Trades, and we are getting ready for our next class of students coming this fall. If you know any young men looking to start a life in the skilled trades, send them our way at harmelacademy.org. If you want to hear more of Working Man, please subscribe to Harmel's socials on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And also, if you want a good pair of work boots, head over to libertyfootwear.com. Peter's boots, I've got a pair. They're the most comfortable boots I've ever had. They're well made. They're very reasonably priced. You're going to love them, and you're going to love working with Peter. So go take care of your souls. Give Peter a call. Head over to libertyfootwear.com. Hey, thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you soon.